Christmas. We're having a pie social, and we'll be happy to eat your pie when you bring it. Amen. I had an old guy, but he said, you know what? We ought to have pie tonight. You bring it, and I'll eat it. Amen. So that's Baptist. Amen. So tonight, right after service, looking for that. Pray for Jill Springer. Jill Springer is a former member of our church, has cancer, not doing well at all. Also pray for a Chaplain Ebert, his wife. He's a chaplain out in Bozeman, the sheriff's office, and also the Bozeman City PD. His wife only had a few hours to live, and I'd appreciate you'd pray for them. I'll have the funeral whenever that is, so probably next week. So continue to pray for those who are hurting and those who are in great need. Well, I'm glad to have Brother Steve Heidenreich. Brother Heidenreich, if you come and preach to us today, we thank you so much for coming.
All right. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Let me clear my throat. So, all right. But boy, what a beautiful day outside, amen? I got up early and got to see the sun come up and see the sun out today. And I'm glad that you're here today. And I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Preacher, I want to thank you for everything that you've done, for the nice hotel room. I want to thank you for the food and all the people that prepared the food, amen? And I usually don't eat late or try not to eat before I preach, but I'll tell you what, the last couple of days, you can't turn food away, amen? And especially good home-cooked food. And so all of you that prepared the food, thank you very much. And thank you for an opportunity to be up here. I mean, I get to be up here. I got to see snow yesterday. Praise God. Amen. I'm from Texas. We don't get it very often down there, thank God. And but it's up here. And I was over in Burma and Thailand last week, and it was 106 degrees in Burma when we went up through the mountains. And there, I tell you that, there was no snow there either. And so, but anyway, just glad to be with you. Always glad to come back each year and see all of you. Stay faithful, amen. Stay faithful. And, you know, we're celebrating the mission conference this week. And I know your church has many other Sundays that they can love on you and do things for you. And this church does, amen. You have a tremendous pastor, and I got to meet Brother Shears over in the Philippines, and boy, he's just one great big teddy bear, amen? He's just one great big teddy bear, except when you mess with him when he sleeps, amen? And we was in the Philippines one night, and we were over there, and man, he's a big teddy bear. He loves people, but one night we were up talking, and I think he got a little irritated. We were up talking. He came out of the room, boy. I said, the teddy bear became the grizzly bear, amen? And we spent a lot of time together, and I want to thank you for allowing your preacher to come to the different mission fields and whatever. When he was in the Philippines, we had some great times. Many people trusted Christ, and he's a hard worker. He's a hard worker, your pastor is. So let's all stand. We're looking at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in the Bible. And I hope that you always bring a Bible to church. Amen. It's amazing to me. I spend most of my life trying to get the Bible to many different types of people around the world. God is very fortunate to me that I've been able to travel to many countries around the world. And one of my top projects is always trying to get to the Bible to those who don't have them. Then it's also very heartaching when you come back to America and we don't carry a Bible. We don't read a Bible. We have a Bible. I hope that you have a Bible of your own. Without the Bible, we'll never get to know the God that loves us. The Bible is His love letter to us. And if you're going through difficulties today, I'll tell you what, read the Bible. God's thinking about every person in this room. Last year, I left here and went back and went through seven surgeries right away because both my kidneys were blocked with big kidney stones. And I was going through different surgeries and one thing, and I learned through it all. The Lord said this, I love you. I love you. I was going through difficult pain and different things and through surgeries. And he said, look, don't you ever forget that I loved you. And I loved you first. And God loves you today. And I don't know what you're going through, but I understand this. He knows you. He loves you. And He knows what you're going through, and He cares. Just ask Him for grace. I've always said, God, just give me your grace. Give me your presence. I said this morning, God, I choose you. I choose you, God. My choice is you. I just need you. I can make it through anything if He's with me. And He's with me and He loves me. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, thank you for everything that you're doing for us. Father, thank you for another day. It's a beautiful day. And of course, every day is beautiful when you're with us. And so, Father, we're looking at missions this weekend. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize that you love the whole world. And Father, I pray that you'd bless this service. Father, help those who are hurting, for those who are struggling, for those who are going through difficulty. Father, I do pray that you'd show them your presence. Father, give them your grace, and then comfort them like only you can comfort. Now, Father, we need your help today. Father, do a work that only you can do. Save the lost and change the life of the Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at this portion of Scripture, and you'd be seated, and my voice is a little raspy because I was in Burma and Thailand preaching quite a bit and teaching and then traveling here and fro, and so just bear with me a little bit, but I want us to look at this portion of Scripture. I love the Bible. I do. I love the Bible. I didn't get saved until I was 21 years old, and didn't do hardly anything with church, you know, just didn't go to church. So when I got saved, the first thing I did was get a Bible. And we couldn't afford one, and we put one on layaway. And my wife and I, for five weekends, every Friday when I got paid, we'd go by the Christian store and put another down payment, an installment upon it. And when I got the Bible, and I grew up without the Bible, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but when I got the Bible, I loved it.
Amen.
And still do to this day. 45 years later, I love it. I never go to bed without reading my Bible. Never. Now, sometimes I get busy during the day, but have to get up during the night and read it. But I read it. And so I want to look at this morning, though. I want to look at this one phrase in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Now, we're talking about missions. Missions is what? Missions is getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person possible. Amen? The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so missions is doing this. Missions is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wants it to go to every creature. And I thank God for that. God wants every person to go to heaven. No, listen, now you need to understand this. God never sends anyone to hell. Do you hear me this morning? God never sends anyone to hell. If a person dies and goes to hell, they've chosen to go that way because God says, look here, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. God wants us to live in heaven with him for all eternity. And I thank God for that. I thank God for a place called heaven. My mother had a nervous breakdown when I was very young, and she never really got her mind back. All the time, once in a while, she'd get it or whatever. But boy, she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Thank God for heaven. But look at this one phrase here in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. The title of my message today is this, that they might be saved. The whole reason for this mission conference is this, that people would be saved. I pray that all of them would be saved. People around the world, 7.2 billion people, 237 countries, 16,279 people groups, and I could go on and on with statistics. But the important thing of it all, God says, look, I want them all saved. God would love to have everybody go to heaven. That's what I love. You know, I'm a missionary, and I spent 15 years in the Philippines, and they were tremendous years. And then God's asked me to love the world, and I've been able to not to travel around the world preaching the gospel, getting the Bible out. And I love it when I can go to any country. I can go to any country, any people group, and no matter what color they are, no matter what background they have, and I know this, God wants them to live with them for all eternity.
Amen?
Amen? I've been to poor countries, difficult countries. Man, I was in Cambodia, in a very difficult place in Cambodia where they had Section H, where I was president over there, and he wanted to have a genocide. He wanted to eliminate a bunch of type of people over there, and they had this Section H where they put a lot of people in a camp, concentration camp. And I went through that, and they had a museum of it, and I went through that, man. I went through there, and they had just rolls of people with pictures of people, just hundreds and thousands of people. And I walked through that concentration camp and went through Section H, went down through that, just seen all types of people in there. And those people were there, and they were being persecuted. And boy, it's amazing how wicked men are, and how men can think of people, ways to torture people like we could not even comprehend. And there were so many people in that concentration camp, and I went down through that, and I began to look at it, and they were poor, and they were tortured, and they were forsaken, and I began to weep as I went down the row after row after row of people. My one question was the gospel of Jesus Christ in that camp at all. I've seen people, and I've been with people around different countries, I've been to Africa and different places, people suffering and hurt and hungry and dying and in dirt and deceit. And I look at them and I thought, oh boy, life is so difficult here on earth. But for them to die and go to hell on top of it, unbelievable to me. I went through that camp and I just thinking, oh, the gospel there. I pray that someone had taken the gospel there. And I came back to the States and was preaching in a boy's home. And was up preaching one night and someone came to me after the service and said, look, there's a young Cambodian couple here and a man and his wife here. And they're from Cambodia and they want to talk to you. He was working, the husband was working and the wife said, boy, my husband would like to talk to you. And so the next night I came back and we began to talk and he said, I told him about the Section H camp and all the things that were going on. He said, you know what? My dad, mom was in that concentration camp. He said it was very difficult. They died in that camp. And I asked him a question. I said, as far as you know, do you know if the gospel of Jesus Christ was in that camp? And he began to lower his head and begin to weep. And he said, as far as I know, the gospel was not in that camp. Look at, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, people die and go to hell. That's not my saying. That's the Bible's teaching. And I thank God for a Bible. Because there are many religions today, there are many churches, and there's many doctrines out there, and everybody's trying to have their own way of trying to get to heaven and trying to figure out if they have to do good works, or if they're a church member, or if it's baptism, or if this and this, and everybody does not agree. But I thank God that God gave us a Bible that says, look, it just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what race you are, what color you are, what nationality, what heritage you are, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. God says, I've made a way for everybody. Religions will say, oh, not, you can't go this way, and some say you can't go this way, but God says you can all go this way. So let's look at this. It says here, why did Paul accomplish all of this? Why did Paul go through so many things? And Paul endured, if you know anything about the Bible, Paul was one of the main Christians of the New Testament, and he went through so many difficulties. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And Paul went through many difficulties. And what caused Paul to endure the difficulties? What caused Paul to be what he was and do what he did? And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 15, verse 10, it says this, by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What caused Paul to labor more abundantly? See, what was it that made Paul go to the extra mile and do the extra things we see what he went through? It is this, because of what? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he wanted to see people saved. And we look at this here. Have you ever had a desire for someone to be saved? Now look, I believe the Word of God with all my heart. The Bible says it, that settles it with me, amen? Because it's God's Word, and I believe it. And I believe that when God said there's only one way, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one's going to heaven without going through Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Because He was the one that came into the world. And He lived in the world, and He came into the world, and what? To die for our sins. We have a sin problem. We've got to deal with our sin. Well, we're raising a generation today that does not want to face sin. They don't want to name sin. They don't want to call sin out. They want to avoid the sin problem. But I'm going to tell you something. Sin is sin, and sin is wickedness in the sight of God. And every person is going to have to deal with their sin whether they like it or not. We live in a generation that wants to try to avoid it and try to go around it. Don't want to take the accountability for it. But I'm going to tell you something. We're all going to have to deal with our sin. But thank God that Jesus Christ came in the world to die for our sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. Amen. No matter what sin you have, it's the blood of Jesus Christ if you come to Him. The death, the burial, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul comes along and he says, look, he had a desire. Go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 1 again, and we look at this. Paul's desire was this, that they might be saved. As we look at missions this week, and as we look at the world, and oh boy, the world has so many people, so many different people groups, and when we look at a lost and dying world, this is the week that we really focus in on looking around the world and looking at different nationalities and different country and different people. Boy, I love the little song that Joseph sent, that red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight.
Amen.
You understand that? Boy, they all are too. And those little children begin to sing that song, and we look at this. Well, the first point I want you to look at is this. Look at the desire for people to be saved. The desire. Look at Paul, verse 10, verse 1 again. Brethren, my heart's desire. Boy, many people have a lot of desires today.
Yeah.
People have so many desires. But Paul said, look at, my desire is that people will be saved. Oh, people have a desire to become wealthy. Boy, it's amazing to me how many people are trying to get rich quick. I mean, there's all kinds of schemes out there. There's all kinds of... I talk to people, and boy, I want to make this money, and I want to get this money. Boy, people have such a desire to become wealthy. Well, I got news for you. You can have all the wealth in the world, but it's not going to do you any good unless you have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not going to do you any good. People are after wealth. Not only that, they have a desire to be famous. Oh, boy, people want to be famous. They want to have the attention. They want to be in the lights. They want to be up here. They want many people to think about them. And you think about the technology and all those things. Boy, you know how many followers I got on Twitter, and how many I got on this, how many I got on Facebook, and how many I got this. Boy, we want to be famous. Desire to be famous. Not only that, young people. Young people, you want to be, they have a desire to be the next American Idol. God, help us. Help us. Young people, there's something more, so much more precious than trying to be the next American idiot or idol or whatever. And we look at this and we see all this. We see the desire. But our desire, if we're saved this morning, we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there should be a desire in your heart for people to be saved. I worry about Christians that have no desire for people to be saved. I worry about Christians that you just come to church, you play the parts, you just go through the motions and whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. You better have a desire for people to be saved. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I grew up without going to church. Man, I took God's name in vain. I was filthy, I was wicked, ungodly, but He loved me. But when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I had a desire for my brother who lived 2 or 3 miles down the road. Automatically had a desire. Never had that before. I had a desire for my sister and other people and my mother and my father. I had a desire for other people to be saved. Let me ask you something. Do you have a desire for people to be saved? Do you understand that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, people do not go to heaven? I was in Tennessee preaching a mission conference, and a young bus captain came up to me and said, let's go out visiting our bus route on Saturday. And I went out with him, and we came to a house where Granny lived. Everybody has a granny, amen? And my wife said, I'm Poppy to my grandchildren, and my wife is Granny to them. So I'm Poppy and Granny. But with Granny, she said, oh, we got to go by Granny's house. Her son is sick. He's in the hospital. He has cancer. Whenever I hear of people having a disease or are sick and they may not have long to live, boy, my antenna goes up. Oh, are they going to heaven?
Yeah.
Are they going to heaven? That's my first desire. And they said, well, we're going by Granny's house. And I said, let's stop by and talk to her. And I talked to her. And it happened to be that her son had just come home from the hospital. He was in the back bedroom. And I said, look, could you just prepare him a little bit? Can I go back and talk to him for a couple minutes? I just want to go back and talk to him. And I went back, and Tanya, his wife, was there, and he was there, and we began talking a little bit. Now, you've got to be very careful with people and how you talk to people. But I said, look, do you have a home in heaven? Do you have a home in heaven? He shook his head, and he said, I don't know. I asked many people, do you have a home in heaven? They go, I think so, I hope so, maybe, I might. But God's not that way. God says that you can know for sure. You could know for sure. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to live on maybes or thinks so or hopes so. He wants you to know for sure that you're going to heaven this morning. And I took Tanya and her husband, and I began to go through the plan of salvation. And before long, they bowed their head and trusted Jesus Christ, both of them, as their Savior. Now they have a home in heaven. I went back the following year, hooked up with a young man by the name of Rob, and we went back to the house, and guess what? That man had went to heaven. A few weeks after that. So we look at this. Look at the desire here. Paul said, my desire and my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. Boy, I hope that you have that desire. That's why we're involved in missions. But I want you to look at this. I want you to look at not only the desire, but the delusion of the lost. Boy, look at this. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto God's righteousness. Many people are trying to work their way to heaven, or have their own way to heaven, and many religions say you got to go this way and this way. And there are many people with a zeal of God, but yet they're lost. Religion cannot save you. Religion did not die for you. And you look at this, but they have such a zeal for God, but yet you can have a zeal for God without their own righteousness, thinking that they're going to have their own way, work their own way, that they're doing good. How many people I talk to? Are you going to heaven? I'm doing good. But how much good you got to do? I fly on the airplane quite a bit, and I always try to witness to people beside me. Sometimes I'll get a priest, or I'll get a pastor, or I'll get some other religious person there, and I'll witness to them, and I'll talk to them, and they say, "Well, you got to be good." And I say, "How much good you got to do?" "I don't know." "Well, if you're dependent on all you're good to go ahead, how much good you got to do? How much work you got to do? What do you got?" And most of them don't know how much they got to do or whatever. And I'll tell you something. They have a zeal for God, but yet they're trying to, on their own righteousness, trying to get their own way to heaven, their own merit. I'm going to tell you something. You can't go that way. You look at the delusion of the lost here, and you say, look, many people think they are going to heaven. What a shock to live all your life and to do so many things that you think you're doing, that you're going to get yourself to heaven, and all of a sudden stand before God. God's going to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" He's not going to ask you what kind of house you lived in, or what kind of work, or how many works you did, or how good you were, or whatever. He's going to ask you, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ?"
That's right.
It's not complicated, folks. There's a reason that Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into this world because we could not work our way to heaven. He came into this world because the church cannot take us to heaven. He came into this world because the pastor, Paul, priest, or whatever, they can't take you to heaven. There's a reason that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for our sins and shed His blood, and He was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. Amen. The one thing that separates Jesus Christ from everybody else is that God raised Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look at the delusion of the lost. Many people. I've had an opportunity to fly around the world and talk to many people. My heart's desire is for them to go to heaven.
Amen.
I don't care who they are. I don't care what nationality they are. I've talked to all types of people around the world. And thank God, I am very spoiled because I have an opportunity to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and to give it out to anybody. Boy, you can't take the gospel to the wrong person. Amen? So we see this. Not only that, we see the desire, but also we see the delusion of the lost. Many people think they're going to heaven. Many people are dependent upon religion and their works and their baptism and their church membership. But if they could do that, why did Jesus die? Jesus Christ did not die in vain. Jesus Christ died so that you and I and every person could spend all eternity in heaven with the Father. I had many surgeries last year on my kidneys and faced the operating table many times and going in for getting prepared to go through surgery. They take you in the gurney and they take you down there and they get you ready. And I'm thinking, boy, what if I don't come out of this? What if I go into surgery? Anytime you go into surgery, there's no guarantee you're coming out of it.
Right.
Boy, I just say, okay. All right, Father, if this is your will, that I go home. See, I'm going home. Bless God, no matter which way you look at it, if I die, I'm going home. I take many mission trips with my wife, and I'll kiss my wife goodbye and tell her, I said, "Honey, I'm going on a mission trip." And to me, going to heaven is like taking a mission trip, but exactly, there's no loss on the other end. Amen. I said, "Don't worry about me, honey, I'm going. And if I don't see you here, I'll see you there." Amen. And so you look at this, but you see this here. The third thing I want you to see real quick is this here, the description of salvation. Look at the description of salvation as we go down through this. Look at verse 9. It says, "If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, I'm going to tell you something. You got to believe this. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I, it's very difficult because, see, America was founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. America was founded upon Jehovah God. Amen?
Right.
America was founded upon the Bible. This is a Christian nation. Amen? Now, we got many people trying to debate that today. I just listened on the news the other day. People getting up and said, "Well, this is not a Christian nation." Well, I got news for you. This country was founded upon Jehovah God. There's only one true living God, Jehovah God. Amen?
Amen.
And this country was founded upon Him. It was founded upon the Bible. It was founded upon the Bible. We see this here. I am so glad that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We were one nation under God. Now we become many gods under one nation. And it's changing our thinking and it's confusing our people. Let me tell you something. There is only one true living God. And it's not Allah. And it's not Buddha. And it's not Confucius or any of the rest of them. Dalai Lama or the rest of them. It is Jehovah God and Him only. And He loves us. And we look at this. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. The one thing that separates Jesus Christ from the rest of them is what? That God raised Him from the dead. I was over in Israel. Over there and spent some time over in Israel and teaching the Bible and doing different things. And they came up to me and said, well, there's a grave over here you need to see. This man said, when he died, he's coming back again. They took me over to the grave, showed me the grave. I said, how long has he been there? You know, and he's coming back again. He said, when he died, he's coming back again. I said, how long has he been there? Well, it's been a little over 200 years. Well, I got news for you. If he hasn't come back in 200 years, he's not coming back. All right? But the one thing that separates Jesus Christ is God raising from the dead. Look at this. Raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, think so, hope so, but shall be. I like that. I like a God that is positive, amen. I like something I can put my trust in. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it says, you shall be saved. Look at this, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That whosoever can be anybody. But for whosoever, no matter who you are, where you come from, your heritage, your background, your education, whatever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It didn't say the name of the church. It didn't say the name of some religion. It said, look, shall be saved. Now here's where I want to get to. We see the desire that people need to be saved. We see the description of salvation. We see this. The last point I want to look at is this, the dilemma of the church. The dilemma of the church. Now what? This is the mission conference. What's our main problem? Look at verse 14. How? The word how. Then shall they call on him who they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him who they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? God called me to preach with that verse 45 years ago. God called me to preach with that. He said how. The word how was mentioned how many times there? It's mentioned over and over again. And they. How many times is the word they mentioned? They. And you see this here, the dilemma of the church. Because our desire, all right, here's our problem. Because our desire does not lead us to believe that people need to go to heaven. We've lost our desire, folks, as Christians. We've lost a lot. You know, in our Christianity, we've lost a lot of desire. We don't have a desire to love God like we should. We don't have a desire to take the gospel of Jesus Christ like we do. We don't have a desire to yield to the Holy Spirit. We don't have a desire for church like we do. So many things. We've lost our desire. And what a tragedy as Christians that we're so busy doing this, trying to be famous and trying to be wealthy and trying to be the next idol and trying to be this and trying to be that, that we've lost our desire for people to be saved. What a tragedy to have a family member not trust Christ because you don't have a desire for people to be saved. What a tragedy. I have, as a missionary, I travel to many churches and many places and around the world, and they find out I'm a missionary, and one of the things to do, can you witness to this person? Can you witness to my dad? Can you witness to my mom? Can you witness to my neighbor? Can you witness to this? Many people come up and say, can you witness to them? And I'm for that. I'm not the greatest soul winner. I'm not the brightest person. I'm not the smartest, the most educated person. But I'm going to tell you something. It was in my heart after I got saved, there was a desire for people to go to heaven. When people are sick, when people are hurting, when people are tortured, I've seen them around the world. And I said, oh boy, I was in Africa, going down the street. Africa's kind of a dirty country, the sand and all the garbage in different places that you walk through in different places where I was. And you see the disease and you see the death and people. Look, we've covered up death in America. We hide death quite a bit. But in countries you see people like that. My heart goes out to them. It's one thing to live on this earth and to go through heartache and difficulty and pain. But I never want to see people to do that for all eternity. Heartache. I mean, people I don't even know, but I see them in pain. I see them hurting. I see their loved ones weeping over them. And I'm thinking, oh, there is a place. A beautiful place, a wonderful place where there is no more pain, there is no more tears. It's a prepared place. It's called heaven. And God wants those people in heaven. We look at the mission program that you have here and say, why do we have a mission conference here? And why are we talking about giving today? And why are we talking about money today? It's all because there's a place called heaven where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more night. And God Almighty, Jehovah, wants us to live there with Him forever.
Amen.
Forever. Forever. You know how long eternity is? Forever. I was on the plane the other day, and we had mechanical problems, and man, it was just a hard flight coming up here. Hard flight. Everything that could go wrong with an airplane seemed like it went with it. Finally, they got it off the ground. And sometimes I think after they worked on a plane or been with the plane and there's been problems with the plane, let's just switch planes, amen? Let's just switch planes. I think it'd be a lot better if we could just switch planes. Well, we got on the plane. We took off. And I told us the other night, we got into turbulence. Now, this plane had problems before it got up in the air. And you get up there with turbulence. And man, I'm telling you what, when the turbulence come, like I said the other night, when they tell you to sit down, buckle in, put your seatbelt on, not too bad. But when they get in, look, stewardess, stop everything that you're doing. You sit down and buckle in. Guess what? You're in for a ride of your life. You don't have to go to the amusement park. When the overhead vent starts waving at you, and if you're eating and your food starts levitating, starts coming up, when all that starts hopping up and people are starting to scream and hang onto the seat, man, I'm thinking, and the pilot said, well, just look at it, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes and we'll be through this. 10 or 15 minutes feel like eternity. 30 seconds and that makes me feel like eternity. You won't believe this, but I fly all over the world and I've been many places. I have a fear of flying. God help us, man. I do. I have a fear of flying. Oh, and boy, when that plane touches the ground, thank you, Jesus. Bless God, we're back on the ground again. But for eternity, yeah. You know how long 2 minutes could be in a very difficult time? I had surgery on my kidneys. And I have kidney stones, and my nickname's Stony. It really became my nickname last year. And they had one thing I had to go through, and they said, look, good. And they said I could have morphine. I must have a high tolerance for pain because I didn't want to use the morphine. Number one, I don't like side effects. Number one, I don't like drugs, period. And they said, well, you can do this. Your blood pressure's going up. You didn't take the morphine to bring down your blood pressure. And they said, well, you must have a high tolerance of pain. Then the next thing they do, and I can't tell you what they did, the next thing they do, gave a whole new level of pain. Whole new level of pain. And well, sometimes they give you a test and say, oh, man, don't worry, it's only like 30 seconds. That's easy for you to say. That's a long 30 seconds, amen. They don't tell you that it's followed by a minute and 10 seconds and another minute and 10 seconds. But for all eternity.
Yeah.
Eternity is forever and ever. This mission conference has one priority. That people might be saved. For them to have an opportunity to choose Jesus Christ.
Right.
To hear a clear presentation of the gospel. As we look at this mission conference, as we come to the last day of it, and this church is not always asking for money, but this is one time a year where, boy, we need money.
Yeah.
We need you to be faithful in your giving. Amen. The gospel came to you. Amen?
Right.
I wasn't looking for the gospel. Man, I'm telling you what, I was not looking for it. It came to me, and thank God that somebody said, thank God there was a church in the area that cared for the people in the area. Thank God for a pastor and a deacon that went soul winning and came to our house with the gospel and presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had an opportunity. My wife and I had an opportunity to be saved. Amen. But it's cost. Why does it shock us what it costs to get the gospel into all the world when it costs us to pay for everything else? I'm amazed. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm amazed at Starbucks. People in line after line after line at Starbucks. Man, it doesn't bother them how much a cup of coffee goes up. If it increases 50 cents, they could care less, they're in line. It's just amazing how we are so willing to spend money on everything else.
Yeah,
now, I'm talking to God's people.
Come on.
I'm talking to God's people. Why is it we're so willing to spend money on everything else and go into debt and take our credit card and go to the max and do everything and buy things we don't want to impress people we don't like to do things? Why do we do all this?
Yeah.
Then it comes time to say, okay, could you give something for the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know why I give? Because it's the gospel of my Savior.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, I'm speaking to very precious people, very dear people. Father, they come to church, and it's been 3 days. They've been here, they've prepared, they've worked, and they've done many things. But Father, it comes all the way down to this. It's time that we make a decision on what we're going to do with the gospel, that people might be saved. Father, I pray that you speak to hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stay with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Preacher.
Head bowed, eyes closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, you know what? That preacher is talking about me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that today. My friend, I'm praying for you. I pray that God would certainly speak to your heart as he always did. I'm sure he did. He certainly spoke to my heart. I hope today that you would respond. For some of you who are not know or accustomed to this, this is what we call the invitation time. We invite you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We're not here to make Baptists out of here. We're here to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you're on your way to heaven. That's the most important thing of your life. All eternity depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. The whole thing. That's the whole thing. That's why Jesus suffered so terribly on the cross. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood so that we could go free. But we have to call for a Savior. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Right there where you're standing, you can pray and invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You can pray a prayer that goes like this. God, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, right at this spot. God will save you. He'll save you immediately. There's no waiting around. He wants you to be saved. He said that I would, that none would perish, but all would come to have eternal life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pianist is going to play. You're here today and you say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to be sure of that. Why don't you come at this time? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Why don't you just step out? Come on, let's show you from the Word of God. Maybe this week some soul winner will lead you to Jesus Christ. You wanna proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ today? That'd be a wonderful thing. Are you here today without Christ? If you're not sure, why don't you come? Secondly, you're here today and you say, preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe that God has sent us to. We'd like to serve God. Why don't you come at this time? God spoke to your heart. You ought to do something about it. God working in your heart. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God is calling you to serve. We'd sure love to pray for you. We'd sure love to be a help to you and encouragement to you. Again, you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let us show you from the Word of God. You're here today and you say, preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. That's down in the water, not out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come? Your day and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we really believe God's speaking to our hearts and to come. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity we can serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these missionaries that have come this week to encourage us to do more for you. Lord, I pray you'd help us as we give. In Jesus' name, amen. May I remind you, we have a treasure chest right back there. If you would like to give towards missions today, just put it in that treasure chest. It'll be emptied today. But I want to thank God so much for the privilege to serve God. Please be back tonight at 6 o'clock. You get to see all the missionaries tonight, and they're over in Junior Church, all of them except the Adkins. And don't miss out tonight. This is our final night of our mission conference, and it's always a great time to get together. And then right after this church service tonight, we're having a pie social over there. That's always good to have pie, amen. How many like pie? Yeah, brother, amen. My brother-in-law lived in Iowa, and he's a city boy. And there's a farmer who needs some help, and so he went out and helped this farmer. And the farmer was probably about 6'8" and about 300 pounds, just a big, massive man. And if you've ever worked for somebody on a farm, you know that you get fed. You know, you work and you go in the house and eat. And usually some of the best food you've ever ate in your whole life. And John, my brother-in-law, said that we went in and they had chicken and they had pork and they had beef and they had taters and gravy and biscuits. And said, man, I'm telling you what, they had everything. He said, I'm about to pop. I was like a tick on the dog, you know, about ready to pop. And then the lady said, the lady of the house says, okay, now do you want a pie? And he said, of course. And she brought in this great big apple pie and put it at the plate of this great big farmer. And he looked at the boys, and he took a fork, and he started eating out of that pie plate. And the boys kind of looked at him and said, he says, it's a terrible thing to cut a piece of pie. Mama, bring in these boys a piece of pie. And she brought them both another whole pie for everyone. So it's good to eat pie, amen. So I hope you'll come tonight, amen, and enjoy your time together. Thank you, missionary. Thank you, Brother Heinrich. Bless our heart today. Make sure you see him, and be back tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.